Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey, City Church, welcome back to More Than That. So this week we hit the fourth dispute within the book of Malachi. And this dispute is from chapter 2, verse 17, all the way until chapter 3, verse 5. And Raphael unpacked this dispute and what all it really meant, and as well as how it applies to our lives. So, Raphael, if you had an extra 10 minutes or so to really unpack something different or go further, introduce something new, what would that have been?
Yeah. So one of the things that I found very interesting when it came to this dispute was to recognizing how most of us probably walk around with a sense of disappointment with God in some aspects of life. And yet in the midst of that, especially talking to the culture where we are, in the midst of that, the best way, whenever we are waiting and it's so hard for us to actually to explain what's going on, like especially in the midst of injustice, the best way is to end up actually misrepresenting God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's actually like what is actually shown within here, that like in our being tired to wait of waiting, we end up actually misrepresenting God. So, and that for me just became very, very apparent in terms of like you and I, just like we get to work with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
We are in the midst of like where a lot of people usually, just because of the hurt that they experienced in the church, just because of just some of the problems that like in within the Christian church, all of a sudden then you hear people actually just saying, well, your God is because mm-hmm. I went through this. But yet really like what this was, what I would have actually spent a lot more time on is why it's so important to spend time, first of all, separating God, who is perfect, holy, just, righteous, good, and then separating God and then separating him with maybe the church, which is actually the church. God is holy. The church is being made holy. God is righteous. The church is declared righteous because of Jesus, but he's also being actually what? Made righteous. And so a lot of times, like when we, and at the same time as well, when we get perplexed with, and so we can get disgruntled with God's people who are still actually going through some type of refining, and then we take and then we say, God, actually, like, this is actually who God is, because I know the church is meant to represent who God is. Mm-hmm. Who God is, but they represent who God is imperfectly.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a way in which, like, when these people in Malachi are looking and they start seeing unrighteousness, it looks like unrighteousness is flourishing, but then they end up actually just accusing God of actually saying, well, God, if these people are prospering, that simply means that you endorse that. And that's actually what God seems to be actually going against his people for.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, you have a waiting problem. And because you have a waiting problem, then you've assigned, you have misspoke of who I am in my character. And then because you've done that, but God still says, but I haven't changed. I'm still going to what? Fulfill who I am. And so it's actually just like we ended in verse 5, but verse 6 actually then captures it all. I do not change. Right. And so that's actually like where I would have just spent a little bit more time in just saying, hey, we need to spend a lot more time like being grounded in who God is and recognizing and our faith really being grounded in his unchanging character versus our changing circumstances. Because it can be so easy for us to speak in a, to then accuse God of what he is not because of what we're going through.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of actually like in the midst of that to actually wait. And then, but then also as well, like we tend to sometimes get so surprised by the depth of, get surprised by human evil. Like it just,
which I don't know why.
Yeah, but like it's because of the whole idea of like we don't think we're as bad as we are.
Yeah.
So then when we get surprised about by human injustice and all that stuff, all of a sudden then it's like we have to constantly just be actually answering, "Hey, how bad was this fall thing?"
Yeah.
And once we understand how bad it was, then we are not surprised. But yet at the same time, that's where actually like, if we don't think of the fall as this invasive virus that affects every fabric, mm-hmm. we will want shallow justice, and therefore we will not be patient to wait for genuine justice, which is actually what really at the end of the day the whole thing looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they wanted shallow justice. What is shallow justice? It's like, yeah, come and defeat, this is what we want, and then we just want to go back to our lives as normal. But mm-hmm. actually the justice they should have been seeking was the justice that was gonna acquit them, declare them righteous first, and then punish the wicked.
Mm-hmm.
But if God had actually given them the justice that they were really, that God wanted to give to them, no one would stand. That's what that text says. But actually God is saying, wait, I am going to give you a far better deal out of this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you a justice that's going to actually, first of all, wash you clean, refine you, and then also then come and actually punish all evil. Because like if his righteousness was to come, nobody was going to be able to stand, both the Jews and the Gentile, which is what Paul says at the end of the day, like that the gospel is actually what? Is actually the power of God to save first what? The Jew, the one who thinks he is righteous. Like they're like, we are children of Abraham. That's what they told mm-hmm. Jesus. And Jesus is like, no, you're children of the devil. Your father is the devil. Like, and that's actually like where we have this shallow measures of what righteousness looks like. But it's only in God where perfect justice is actually portrayed. And that perfect justice is actually seen in Jesus,
mm-hmm.
where Jesus, his justice, his righteousness goes against even the Pharisees, the ones who are the good boys of that day, who've got it all together.
Yeah.
And it goes against what? The sinners.
Well, I mean, when you think about like the Pharisees who were like the good boys of the day, it's like they still had to be like be clean, even mm-hmm. though they were like the good boys. They still had to be clean in order to enter the Holy of Holies, and even then they'd tie a rope to them so that they could pull them out if something was going wrong.
So like, it's still. So that's why then Christ comes in. And I love how the text says he will enter his temple.
Mm-hmm.
He will enter boldly and actually sacrifice boldly without actually threat of actually him being what? Stricken down. That's the best justice. Then mm-hmm. at the same time, so we live in between these two poles of justice. And that's actually now like where there's a theme in scripture. If you like biblical theology like I am, like it's like biblical theology is getting to see a theme in scripture from Genesis all the way down. Mm-hmm. Like there's a theme in scripture, salvation through judgment.
Okay.
That we have to actually just like, in order for us to really recognize this, what is such a salvation through judgment? It's actually the whole idea of like, God comes. What's the first thing he speaks into a dark world? He brings light into a dark world.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens when finally, like, he brings actually order where there is chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And then he then says to men, rule, which is actually like, be actually like the righteous judges here on earth. But then obviously, like, sin comes in. And what ends up happening? Sin is judged by actually, like, we see actually, like, him having to clothe them by actually killing an animal.
Yeah.
And then you get to see still sin has to be accounted for through and through. Sacrifices has to be made and all that. And then ultimately, like all these other sacrifices are not enough to take care of sin. Then behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. What does that mean? John 1:28. That Jesus is the one who actually is going to what? Take the judgment enough. He won't be like that scapegoat that just wanders in the desert with the sins pronounced of the people over there, mm-hmm. right? He is the one who fully absorbs the sins of the world, but then he gives us his righteousness. And then so in Jesus we are judged, and then we are acquitted, we're made righteous, which is a judge, which is actually a judicial word.
It's a judgment.
Yeah, right. We're made righteous, declared righteous.
Mm-hmm.
But then in Jesus, we will be declared righteous at the final day of judgment. So Jesus is, we live now in between two poles of judgment. Judgment at the cross and then judgment when finally he comes. That's where Revelation 5 kind of comes in. There is actually like in Revelation 5, you see, it's literally like it says, we looked in heaven and on earth, and there was no one who was going to open the scroll of what? That was going to acquit everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it says there was weeping everywhere. And then finally it says, weep no more. There is only one who opens that scroll. And when he opens that scroll, then the song. Mm-hmm. The song of redemption opens up. So, yeah. Anyway, yeah. That's that.
Yeah, yeah. We could unpack that so much more.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one of the things that we talked about over the over at home group last night,
mm-hmm.
was the idea of, like, judgment. Like, usually we consider judgment, like, a negative thing.
Yeah.
But that doesn't, like, judgment is, like, consequence. It's just the result of an action. So like it doesn't matter if you have been like sinless through your entire life or if you've been doing nothing but sinning and in an unrepentant way,
mm-hmm.
then you're both of them are going to be judged.
Yeah.
Like you can't get away from it. And I think that that's kind of what like the biblical action or idea of judgment really is getting at. Like you're going to face like judgment for both the good and the bad.
Yeah.
Whether you're going to get a judgment of justified,
mm-hmm.
or judgment of condemned.
Yeah.
So
What I was also going to say was just the innate desire for justice,
mm-hmm.
is something that actually like is within, like if we're made in his image. And I always just find it very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to someone who's like an atheist friend who's mm-hmm. just basically saying, if God is so good, why this, this, and that? And I was like, what's interesting is that you desire justice. And that also just speaks of who made you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And for example, when two kids are fighting, like when they're fighting and they one comes to tell on the other, what is it that they desire? Justice.
Mm-hmm.
If you brush it off and say, oh, it's like, you watch little, they want you to spank the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Or they want you to, they want some form of justice.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing when we have an argument, like, oh, when for example, like you, someone speaks bad of your name, you want some form of justice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, so at the end of it all, even in within the human being, there's a desire of actually justice. And it's pretty interesting. We get so uncomfortable when now we think about God and his justice.
Mm-hmm.
And we realize that literally every single day, we're constantly, if we're saying, that's not right, what do you mean by that? You're meaning that that doesn't satisfy your level of justice. We were wired for justice. And at the end of the day, that's actually like, we need to recognize that. So then we need to be okay, because even what gives me comfort about the justice of God coming back, I'm so grateful that in Jesus I am fully judged already and fully acquitted. But also what gives me comfort is the fact that, like, man, every single wrong that I've seen that has been done here on earth has been totally judged. It will be judged as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's mm-hmm. actually very good in just like, hey, what about genocides? What about racism? What about tribalism? What about mm-hmm. like all the whatever ism that like has just plagued? What about the sin that Cornelius Plantinga says is a vandalism of shalom?
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad that there is one way better than I who is gonna totally judge that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and when you said that we tend to get surprised by injustice and
yeah.
in any way, shape, or form that you can think of, whether it's Pol Pot doing like killing
yeah, in the most killing fields. Yeah, yeah.
most of his population mm-hmm. as a dictator, he killed. Yeah. Or we see, it doesn't matter. Hitler. It could be the attack on the Twin Towers. It could be anything.
Yeah.
That we would consider an injustice, and it's like one of my professors, Clay Jones.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, after studying this for so long,
yeah,
I am not surprised in the slightest.
Yeah.
Because he's seen the depths and the depravity of man. That runs so deep. And he's like,
mm-hmm.
that could have been me.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what the historian in No Ordinary Men came yeah. to that conclusion. Yeah. He came to
that's
that
good.
That conclusion where in the I forget exactly what infantry or what like actual like squadron or something like that
yeah.
that he was like not discovering but like researching, but the conclusion that he came to was that those Nazi soldiers that this group was combating and
yeah.
really going after, he's like, I could have been one of those.
Oh yeah,
they Easy. Were just the ordinary people that were, they had families, they went to work when they weren't at
yeah.
war, by all definitions,
yeah.
they were regular people.
They were regular people,
which
yeah.
But then,
because we want to take them and give them another status
mm-hmm.
other than human being,
mm-hmm.
like because we're like, mm-hmm. how do we describe any form of describe? That's a monster.
Yeah,
that is an animal.
We want to set ourselves apart.
Yeah, we want to set ourselves. Like, that's good.
And
yeah.
I think that that's where what I was really glad to sit under Clay with that,
mm.
and after. Hearing all of these things and, of course, reading however many books that we had to, it's like, yeah, I'm not surprised either.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I've done some horrible things as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
if I can do horrible things, not of that scale, anybody
yeah.
can.
It's like we get surprised by depravity when we... The reason why is when we chip in the cross, we'll
mm-hmm.
think our depravity is shut, like it's not as bad.
Yeah.
Like, why would you have to? Like, that's now like what I'm always saying, my apologetic for, like, how terrible do you think the human heart is? Look at the cross. Otherwise, God is a very sadistic. Like, you yeah. see what I mean? Like, it's yeah. just like how gruesome it is. If you start studying, like, the excruciating pain of the cross, mm-hmm. the Gethsemane nine tails, mm-hmm. all that stuff that actually happens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
yeah. Like, I couldn't even take one.
No.
But if you start looking, and then you would actually just see why then the depth of suffering that Christ endured was for all manner of evil. That's mm-hmm. why for me, even when I was saying that God's judgment, at mm-hmm. least his faithfulness is seen at the cross. So
yeah, and one yeah. of the things like that, one of the things that I think the cross gets at is not just the physical pain, but mm-hmm. the emotional and the mental and side the as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you go back even further into the passion narrative, and you see Jesus like sweating blood.
Yeah,
which is a legitimate medical condition.
That's stress at its deep level.
Yeah, you're so stressed that you're like the capillaries in your body
bursting. Yeah,
like
yeah.
that is stress at the ultimate level, not yeah. just emotional but spiritual, because he knows what he's about to do,
mm-hmm.
and he knows the depths of how far it's going to reach, and that I can only imagine what that stress would be yeah. like. And that's
we'll never know.
No, but
that's good, but
the depth of that anguish
mm-hmm.
I think helps us combat that misrepresentation, because if Jesus is willing to go into the depth, so should we.
Mm-hmm.
And we should, so that we don't misrepresent God.
Yeah,
so getting to know, so searching the depths of God
mm-hmm.
so far that whenever we are representing him, the last thing that we are going to be doing is misrepresenting him.
And the nice part about that is that at the end of it all, when we what we long for, the reason why Jesus becomes our Lord is that if you remember, my main thing there was the fact that like that Christ testifies to the unchanging faithfulness of God. One of the ways he does that is by actually how he still holds on to the character of God. My God, my God,
mm-hmm.
I feel so forsaken at this moment, but you're still my God.
And mm-hmm.
that's almost like a...
If anything, that's like a dichotomy. Just right there, like,
yeah.
you're here. But I don't feel you.
Yeah, I don't feel you. But you are still my God.
Yeah.
I think that is now suffering at its highest level. Like, and that's actually now like what we should be grateful for, the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit poured inside within us.
Mm-hmm.
He gives us that long suffering, that patience, that self-control to, like what you were saying, mm-hmm. to enter those depths. And to even fellowship with him in suffering, like mm-hmm. Philippians 3 says, which is something that only is possible only through Jesus and us yielding to his work in our lives.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, that's a good. I'm going to leave that there. I don't want to complicate matters.
Yeah, I know. We just opened a big one here.
There are so many ideas that popped in. We could go on. I usually think that I feel like that's just every time we talk. I think that's just kind of what happens, is we end up like going down a rabbit hole, and then we find out that this rabbit hole wasn't really like a rabbit hole. It was just the tunnel into an anthill with all of these different cavities.
Yeah, let's not
it's
do
it's like
that.
The main opening that's of the good. Anthill.
But that's a good place to end today.
Yeah.
I think just looking to Jesus when we feel like giving up, mm-hmm. who did not give up, but he doesn't. And we're not just saying be like Jesus, as in like we're saying rely on Jesus, let his Spirit in within you.
Yeah.
Like actually carry you so that you can endure through suffering. Mm-hmm. And you can hold on to his character, but still actually be able to confess that you feel forsaken
mm-hmm.
and let him give you the patience to wait.
Yeah. That's a good place to end.
Yeah. There you go.
So for those of you that are listening, I want to remind you that don't let misrepresentations of God distract you from going deeply into relationship with him so that you don't misrepresent God. And to also remind you that this isn't a replacement for the Sunday sermon or being involved in a local church. We want you to be involved and to be present on a Sunday morning because that is where we get fed. That's where we get sent out from. So we encourage you to do that. If you're in the Williamsport area and you do not have a church home, we would love to meet you. Come see us, and we will do our best to get you plugged in and get to know you. So, Raphael, thank you for everything, and we will see you all next week. Have a blessed week.